This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
This is Maura Fiedler with the Cops Office. With us today is Assistant Chief Brian Lumpkin from the Houston Police Department and Dr. Everett Penn from the University of Houston, Clear Lake. They are here today to talk to us about the Teen and Police Services Academy. Chief Lumpkin, what is the Teen and Police Services Academy?
The Teen and Police Services Academy is a program that's being funded by the Cops Office with the ultimate goal of coming up with a user guide that we can give to other law enforcement to implement in their agency. That user guide will be available in October 2013. Right now, we are currently working with these highly at-risk kids to get a better interaction between them and the real cops, the cops on the street. So we bring in real cops as mentors. We team them up with the toughest kids in our community, the kids that they're not criminal, but they've already made some really bad decisions and have got themselves in a school where they need some special attention. And we're ultimately trying to close down the social distance. We're trying to figure out, where are you? Where do you see your police? Number one, are you at a one where you don't like the police at all? Or are you at a 10 where you love the police? And then we're going to go in there and see if interacting with them every week for 15 weeks can get them to feel a little better about police officers and about authority figures, and arm them with some skills and abilities to go out there and navigate the journey of being a teenager. It's tough. They're under a lot of influence, a lot of peer pressure. They've already made lots of bad decisions. We're going to help them turn that around a little bit.
Can you describe the partnerships involved in the development and implementation of the TAPS Academy?
This makes this really special, this program, because without the partnerships, it could not be possible. You have to be teamed up with a highly at-risk alternative school in your area. You have to have the academic people on board. You have to have the ability to evaluate it and be willing to say, you know what, this worked, but this didn't. Let's change next year. Let's make adjustments semester by semester. It's really crucial today when you're going to take money. You want to make sure that you're getting the best bang for your buck. And the only way to do that is to truly partner up with universities like we did, Texas Southern University, to do our evaluation, like we did with the University of Houston, Clear Lake, who actually came in and not only added that academic research and says, where are we with these at-risk kids and where are we with this social distance, but also the ability to make us as police officers look at it a little bit differently, look at it from the academic side.
As Chief Lumpkin pointed out, it is extremely important in these days and times because of the economic strains that we're under to ensure that we are using the public's dollar in the best possible way. The partnership that we have with the Houston Police Department, University of Houston, Clear Lake, Beechnut Academy, Texas Southern University, and our newest partner, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, allows us to use the best methods possible to ensure we're spending that dollar correctly. So this partnership is something that the research says is right, and we have found from our experience is right.
If the goal of the program is to reduce the social distance between at-risk youth and law enforcement, are you anticipating other positive impacts on community policing efforts as a result of the training?
Yes, I am. Historically, community policing has done a really great job interacting with the really great citizens. But in the Houston Police Department, where I feel that we could do a better job is actually addressing this group. This is the group that is not criminal, but it's at a very tough age group to deal with, and it's very hard to get this group to meet with you. Fortunately, we have principals that are willing to say, you know what, I think it's important that these kids meet with the police, so therefore we're going to let you in our school, we're going to let you have a classroom, and we're going to let you have those students for an hour and a half to do this, because they see the value in it. So yes, I believe that this partnership, and it does enhance community policing, it just takes it to a group that I feel that we probably haven't spent a lot of time with. We do a great job talking to the civic leaders. We do a great job talking with the apartment managers. We do a great job talking with the type kids that want to be police officers. We do a good job in the DARE-type programs, the great DARE-type programs. But we're talking to 95% good kids in those programs. We want to go after that 5%. That 5% is showing up in these alternative schools.
The Houston Police Department is a home base for community policing. So it's right that this next chapter of community policing, going past that of the population that desires you to be there, the population that looks forward to you coming there, we are taking it to another level by going to a population that has a great social distance, that does not perhaps like police, and research literature shows that. So from this program, we're going to have it that the teens learn what is right from someone who has the authority, who has the experience, and has the care to tell them how to operate in this situation when you're stopped by the police, when you're approached by the police, and how to avoid some of the troubles that come every day for some of the youth that we participate with. And then second, and very importantly, the police officers get to learn about this population in which they police. And I hope that Chief Lumpkin will tell about some of the ideas that he has with getting these police officers to understand this population.
Let me just add about some of the other positive impacts. We've already seen preliminarily that we are having an impact, and they do feel better about the police. And we do see the police getting a deeper understanding about where these kids' heads are, which is great, because when you arm officers and our mentors, our true police officers working evenings and night shift and are out there possibly running up against some of the kids we're interacting with or the groups of kids that they're interacting with, and they're able to share that information with other police officers of what they've learned through this experience. It also has an officer safety component, because our feelings are if a teenager can feel a little bit better about the police and the authority figure, he'd be less apt to be disrespectful, even take it as far as assault or injure an officer. That is just a hope and a dream of mine right now. I have no solid literature to prove that, but that is something that I feel can happen, and I feel ultimately will happen, because we see it all the time in, like, Citizens Police Academy. We have people come in there not really pro-police, but by the time they get through the Citizens Police Academy and they see all the different aspects that police work does, they get a deeper understanding of our walk. And that's what these kids are doing with these classes. They're getting a little understanding about our journey, our walk as police officers, the diversity of our department, all the different things policemen do, different agencies, divisions, investigative units. And then at the same time, we're in their tennis shoes, walking with them, saying, oh, you know, it's not easy being a teenager. It's not easy dealing with the issues these kids have to deal with today.
Dr. Penn, have you seen any results that support the program goal of reducing the social distance between at-risk youth and law enforcement?
Our model is based on literature that has come from years of criminology and criminal justice research. Our model is one in which we believe that if we can reduce the social distance between police and this at-risk population, legitimacy will increase, social bond will increase with these teens, and therefore eventually reducing of crime. So social distance, legitimacy, and social bond, reducing of crime. We're getting there. So with that, we do have a team from Texas Southern University conducting our evaluation. Evaluation is so very important in these days. So what we've seen from the pre-test, post-test question, just some of the information, more information is available on our website, tapsacademy.org. We asked the question, before the program began, do you like the police? Do you trust the police? Do you respect the police? Pre-test responses for like were 35.1, post-test jumped to 64%. Trust, 51%, jumped to 84% at the end of the program. Respect, 60% at the beginning of the program. At the end of the program, these teens said 92% said that they respected the police. And then what they're thought of, do the police respect me? 43% of the teens thought that at the beginning of the program, 68% at the end of the program. So from this first academy, from our first time, we are seeing that we are having an effect in this 15-week program, and we think we can only do better in the future.
Chief, what lessons have you learned from the first class?
The biggest lesson that I personally learned, and I believe my officers would agree, because I attended every single class that we put on this year, is that this type of student is tired of being threatened and lectured. They're tired of people pointing fingers at them and saying, you're going to be nobody, you're going to jail, you keep it up, and you're not going to be somebody. They all want to be somebody. They're all crying for attention. There's not a shy one in the group. They all seem to have skills, but they're doing it in dysfunctional ways. What I've realized is what they really want out of us is they want to be listened to, which is a big component. We spend as much time listening to them as we do talking to them. And also, They want people that care. They don't want a person one day, give them a motivational speech and walk out of their life. They liked that these cops were showing up every Tuesday, every Thursday, every Tuesday, every Thursday, same cops, getting in there with them, hearing their issues, hearing what they think about the issues that they face, everything from cyber texting crimes to bullying to domestic violence to conflict resolution, kind of getting what sets you off. And what are some of the things that we could arm you with in the future to have better outcomes with not only your peers and your teachers and your parents, but with the police?
Dr. Penn, where can people find additional information about the TAPS Academy?
Well, TAPSAcademy.org is the place online. We also are on Facebook, and we really want to see that interaction between police officers and teens. We put in prompt questions on our Facebook page that we hope will produce the dialogue. We're still learning. This is a grant. It's a test program that we hope that in 2013 we have kicked out just as many of the bumps and difficulties as possible so that this can be implemented around the country. One of the things that we learned along the way, revisions that we're making for our future classes, is that we're adding big brothers and big sisters so that mentorship component can be as strong as possible. Because these kids are looking for someone, as Chief Lumpkin pointed out, to be the person who has the answers for them. And also these officers are learning. So we're glad to have them as partners on board. We do have District Communications, our public relations firm, that gets the word out there as this grant, this RFP required us to have a strong public relations forum. So we hope that people will come see us online.
And we're really encouraging even other folks. If you think you have something to offer our teens or police officers or their parents, let us know. Send us an email, and we'll add you to our website as a link.
Thank you so much for providing us with your expertise and your time.
Thank you.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.